Charles Bell is a professor and the author of a new book, but as a child growing up in Detroit, he couldn't picture himself surviving long enough to graduate high school. Bell says that's the experience of many kids who live with gun violence or other traumas. In his new book, Suspended, Punishment, Violence, and the Failure of School Safety, Bell says schools are punishing kids who are already suffering. In this conversation with Sarah Nardi, Bell says suspensions can be particularly devastating.
Even one suspension is harmful. I had students in my study who received one suspension and it happened to be on a day where they took an exam. So there's a 100-point test or a quiz on that day. So they may have had an A before the exam. They missed a 100-point exam and then they have an F or a D. So just one suspension is harmful. And then when we think about students who traditionally have received either 5-day suspensions, 10-day suspensions, or even multiple suspensions, we know that it's devastating for them because a lot of them, they can't catch up. And then they come back into the class off task after the suspension because they don't know what's happened. They've missed 5 days of school. And then they end up getting another suspension. So it's just a cumulative, catastrophic issue that we really need to talk about in our society.
It seems like a ripple effect. Certainly anyone who's missed school, I think, could probably, for whatever reason, relate to the feeling of being frustrated and disheartened when you come back and you really feel out of the loop. Can we talk a little bit about the idea behind suspensions in the first place? Because to hear you describe the effects of being suspended, it seems very counterintuitive.
So initially, the idea behind school suspension was to prevent students from coming to school with weapons, drug use. They were designed to prevent violence on school grounds. And what happened is that schools really took this zero tolerance framework that was implemented by the federal government in 1994 via the Gun Free Schools Act. They took it too far and they expanded it to dress code, disrespect, and other minor infractions that were never designed to be punished as a out-of-school suspension. And what we're seeing is that in many cases, these schools, they don't even have like a first sort of step. Many schools don't have a detention or an in-school suspension option. They just go straight for the out-of-school suspension, which is the most harmful punishment in most cases. And I think the problem with our current understanding of school suspensions is that we assume that children who receive school suspensions are always bad or always disruptive. And that's just not the case. A lot of these students, their behaviors are being misinterpreted. And they're coming to school, they're navigating trauma on the way to school. No one knows, no one's asking these kind of questions. What are you going through to get to school? What are you going through at home? What are you going through on the way home from school? It's really tough for a child to focus in school if they can't picture themselves being alive. You know, I remember growing up in a community where it was really difficult for me to picture myself going to high school and going to college because I was in the neighborhood where there were shootings all the time. So that's a sort of trauma. And children don't have an outlet to even talk about that sort of trauma in school or in their communities. So they end up internalizing it. And then their misbehavior is misconstrued as deviance or criminality, when in reality, it's a cry for help.
Do you think that points to the need for more Black teachers in school or more teachers who are trained in trauma-informed response to really meet these kids where they are and instead of punishing them, recognize the cry for help for what it is and help?
I think that it's a cry for help from all educational stakeholders. I think that initially we've thought about just hiring more Black teachers, and I think that's important. But it places a small band-aid on a much larger situation because we're not addressing the teachers who have these implicit biases to begin with. I think that we have to have a conversation nationally amongst our education force about what we see when we look at Black children and the potential for them to be doctors and attorneys and whatever they want to be in society, and not just this sort of criminal deviance that we assign to Black children because their behaviors are being misinterpreted. I think it calls for a national discussion about the need for social workers and psychologists in schools nationally. And we have to question, why are social workers, psychologists, and counselors the first things we cut from schools when children need them the most? If we really want to produce an educated citizenry, we need to really start questioning why we are shifting so much money away from helping children and into criminalizing children, because there's always money for metal detectors and law enforcement officers and school resource officers.
And that ties into a larger conversation about how we allocate resources. Do you think that schools, you know, kind of fall back on suspensions to the degree that they do, in part because they're under-resourced and it's just easier to remove a child than to try to address what the issue is?
I think so as well. I think that's a sort of political violence that has been introduced into many urban school districts, where research shows that at most you should have 20 students in a class in most cases, when we know in urban areas there's upwards of 30, sometimes there's close to 40 students in a class. So I think this conversation for the most part about school suspension has been between the students and parents versus teachers, when in reality, it should be the students, teachers, and parents really talking to the policymakers who designed this system where a teacher can't talk to a student because there's 40 students in their classroom. They can't give that individualized attention in many urban areas because there's so many different issues and there's such a lack of resources in the schools to begin with. And then they're continuously removing essential resources so that the teacher is using their own income to buy resources and things like that. So it's taxing for the teachers too. And I understand that they're in a difficult predicament in some cases. So I think that it's a conversation that needs to involve all sort of education stakeholders and criminal justice stakeholders. We need to be in a room together talking about this. We can't exclude students and parents. This is a conversation for everyone.
That was Charles Bell, an associate professor of criminal justice sciences at ISU. His new book is called Suspended: Punishment, Violence, and the Failure of School Safety. He spoke with Sarah Nardi.